A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. I was just going to start, like before we even did intros, I was going to say, this person was born on...
You're crazy.
I guess so.
The only business housekeeping stuff I want to say is Patreon. We are loving these live discussions.
I didn't know people would be so engaged and... so ready to bring stuff to the table. I'm shocked.
I love when people show up and they have a notebook. Like, that's my favorite.
You're right. But what made this one even more, crazy to me is, well, for one, it was the timing. We had released an episode that really resonated with people. So everyone was commenting, please save room, save time so that we can discuss it, which it actually took nearly the whole time. And we might have went over, maybe.
We did.
We did.
But now I'm also thinking that we told them we were going to start trying and do it once a month. Maybe we'll do it the week of the episode.
I mean, that's fine with me. You just tell me where to be and I'm there.
I know. That's our life.
I'm just wondering... if our other listeners would think that this is something interesting to do. I mean, we always have to keep the numbers at a certain... well, we don't want to have so many people that want to engage can't.
Right. So we will think about that. If you are a listener that is not a Patreon, first of all, join a Patreon. You'll get a monthly discussion. Second of all, if you're not and you'd like to do one, DM us. We'll see what we can get in the works.
I'm game and I'm willing to try anything. And like I said, Melissa totally just tells me where to be. So that's easy for me. You know?
All right, you want to do your case?
I do. So I'm hoping that this does not turn out like it did for Lindsay last week in terms of me having literally nothing to contribute. Because I kind of feel a little bit similar.
Okay.
But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe you have something to bring to the table that's going to make me start thinking.
I've never heard this name before, so...
and I have to say it's a memorable name.
It is. So you go and I'll tell you...
so I'm going to let you know who it is, everyone. And we'll just dive right in. I'm going to talk to you today about Logan Schendelman. Logan was born on June 27th, 1996. He's from Washington State, and he was born to a Caucasian mother and a Saudi Arabian father. And the reason I bring this up is because it does have some relevance throughout probably his life and story, but it does have some significance a little bit later. It seems as though Logan's mother and his biological father had a brief romance when Logan's father was going through the West Coast on business. Eventually, Logan's father went back to Saudi Arabia, and he never really had anything to do with Logan. I don't even know if he knew he had a son, but they didn't have a relationship with one another. So it was really just Logan's mom there for him. But I don't know to what degree, because she actually ended up enrolling in art school and going there while he and his half-sister went to go live with Logan's grandmother. Logan was described as someone everybody liked. He was outgoing. He had friends. His friends say that nobody hated him. He played football, and I believe he was recognized as a pretty good player. After graduating, Logan went to college in Washington, but pretty far away, I believe. And this is where things seem to change for Logan. For the first notable time, and when I say notable, I'm saying notable to other people. I don't know how Logan felt, but people noted that this is when Logan started to experience some racism. Now, I'm sure that this is not the first time Logan had experienced racism. However, just saying it again to be clear, this is when people noticed that he probably experienced some racism at college. And the friends that he had made didn't appear to really stand up for him or do anything. It doesn't seem like they did anything outwardly cruel to him. Take that for what it's worth, depending on what you think is cruel or not. But it seems as they were bystanders or neutral.
You know what's really interesting is...
What?
So I have a true crime calendar, and my quote for the day on the calendar is...
Yeah.
What hurts the victim the most is not the cruelty of the oppressor, but the silence of the bystander.
Wow.
How fitting.
That's intense. How fitting.
Like, it just so happens that's the quote on the day we're recording. And that's true.
I think that sums that up right here. Yeah. So, Logan seemed to not only notice this, but he had a complete change. I don't know if his difficulty academically stemmed from this or not, and I don't know that we'll ever know that. But simultaneously, Logan wasn't really able to keep up in school. He didn't do too well, and he left. I don't know for sure if he got kicked out or he's not allowed back because of his grades or if he left of his own free will. But that is what happened. He left of his own free will, and he moved back home. And he didn't go with his mother. He went where he had been pretty much living his whole life, and that was with his grandmother and his half-sister. Except when Logan moved back home with his grandmother and his half-sister, it wasn't just them. Logan's half-sister actually had moved in her boyfriend. And everyone indicates that Logan did not like this guy. It didn't seem like the guy liked Logan, and they did not get along. I've heard a couple of things that things did occasionally get heated between the two, but then I also hear that people are kind of making this dramatic and they would get into disagreements, but overall just kind of avoid each other. So I believe at a bare minimum, we can say they didn't like each other. So immediately when Logan gets home, everyone notices that Logan is different. He seemed more reserved. Several people use the term that he acted very nervous, which they don't indicate that they know why or speculate that they know why, just that he was nervous and he was kind of isolated. Logan did manage to start some odd jobs and work, so it's not as if he isolated to the point that he never left home. But honestly, we're not too far off from that. Old friends are noticing when they see him out in the community, Logan's not the same. And a number of times that I've heard this from people that knew Logan, it must have been a dramatic difference for people to have noticed all of that. And again, they use the word that he seemed nervous. And when these people from his life, whether they were old friends, acquaintances, tried to reach out, they could see that Logan was reading messages that they were sending him. But he would never respond. It's almost as if he became completely either fed up or disengaged, disinterested in having these same friends. And who knows if it stems from the experiences that he had in college with people not standing up for him or if he was able to identify him. We just don't know. It could have been anything. Logan spent a lot of time in his room alone when he wasn't working, and when he did go out, his family wasn't familiar who he was with. So it's like he did make some new, I guess you can call them friends, for lack of better words, but it's not lifelong friends. It doesn't seem like it's every day. It's not people that he's bringing home to meet his family. So again, take that for what it's worth. On Thursday, May 19th, before Logan's grandmother went into work, her and Logan were having a brief conversation, and basically he made mention that he had an epiphany, and he really seemed to want to talk to Grandma about it, kind of seemed nervous, but for something like that, I believe Grandma was kind of like, I really want to hear what you have to say. I don't know what you mean by this, but like, I'm going to work, So can we kind of continue this conversation later? Probably like when she got home. And I guess he was like, all right, no problem, whatever.
All I want to say at this point is, okay, people, if someone tells you they have something important to tell you or an epiphany or a secret or something, please let them tell you right then. Because I have a feeling we're not going to ever know what the epiphany is.
You make an interesting point because it comes up a lot in interviews or in newspaper articles. And Graham is like, I wish I knew. And we're never likely going to know what that meant.
Kind of like Bryce LaPisa had something to tell his mom and she doesn't know what it is. Or, I mean, there's tons of cases that are like, I have something to tell you. We'll talk about it later. And then that's it.
I know. And our true crime brains go there, for sure.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to...
But we never think, or we're never always thinking about the worst thing that could happen. We're always thinking, gee, when I go to work, I'm obviously going to come home.
Right.
But if it ever does cross your mind, I 100% agree with you. You should say what's on your mind as soon as you can.
Yes. Go ahead.
So, you know, like I was saying, Grandma wanted to hear what it was. She's going to work. Doesn't seem like it's the most ideal time to let someone say that and then have to cut them off before you have to go into work.
No, and I get it, and I wasn't judging her for it.
Oh, of course, and I didn't take it that way, but I do appreciate you saying that. How could you? How could anyone know
right.
or not know? As you suspect, this is the last time Logan's grandmother would see him again. So that night, she gets home. After a while, she notices Logan's not there. She pings his phone because this is actually 2016. So this is very recent. This is a few years ago. We really have all the same social media and tracking devices that we have on our regular personal phones, like Find Your iPhone or Facebook, Snapchat, you name it. We don't have to imagine what it was like. I'm sure you understand that.
Yes.
Grandma pings his phone, and the ping shows that he's in the Olympia area, and she's not alarmed because actually this is where Logan's mother lives. So she kind of figures he's probably visiting his mother, whatever, and that's the end of that. She's not concerned. Friday the 20th, Logan still wasn't home, and Grandma is starting to get a little bit worried at this point. So she actually does attempt to go to law enforcement and file a missing persons report. But I don't know how small this community is. I did not look into it. But they're not open for the weekend. They're closed up Friday until Monday. So she can't file her missing persons report.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, Grandma is a little bit concerned on Friday. So she goes to law enforcement to ask for help or file a missing persons report. But law enforcement's office is closed that day and through the weekend.
I didn't know that law enforcement closed. I feel like crime is a 24-hour business.
So, yes, you're correct. And in areas around me, and I'm sure since you're from New Hampshire and there are plenty of rural places there, you have your resident trooper. You're like resident state trooper in those communities.
So she didn't want to call 911. She wanted to like go to a police department.
That's what it appears like, yes.
And there was just no one at the desk.
Well, no, they were closed for the weekend. I'm sure they have a dispatcher. So if you called someone, they would send someone out to you, but they don't actually have the law enforcement office open.
Just keep going, because I'm not going to wrap my head around law enforcement being closed.
Okay, no problem. She can't do anything until Monday the 23rd, which she does. So on the 23rd, when Grandma goes to law enforcement, it was then that she and law enforcement found that his, as in Logan's, Chrysler Sebring was impounded after being towed.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so they were able to discover that Logan's Chrysler had been towed on the 20th. Now, the 20th was Friday morning, I believe, or Friday, I should say. His car was in possession for quite some time, for a couple of days. So law enforcement, of course, investigated because they're trying now to figure out what's going on. And they found out that it was parked at milepost number 92 southbound on Interstate 5. Inside was his phone, his wallet, cash, and groceries. Now, let me clarify a little bit about the groceries. So it seems like everyone knew that this was a behavior of Logan's. He would go to a convenience store, for example, and he'd pick out a whole bunch of food, I assume, just like food to have on the road, whatever you're doing. Put it in one of those small little plastic bags or paper bags or whatever it is. Put it in his center console and just snack while he's driving or doing whatever he's doing. It doesn't appear as though law enforcement starts to look at this as any foul play or anything like that, because when they towed the car, first of all, there was probably, if at all, there was evidence, it was lost, the way people went through it and things like that. So the car was probably useless. What police discovered was that there were witnesses and some 911 calls. Starting with the first witness that came forward, she said she was on her way to work early in the morning of the 20th. And she remembered passing the Chrysler on the side of the road and seeing two Caucasian males and Logan on the side of the road with the car. Obviously, thought nothing of it.
Was that at the same spot that his car was found? Do we know?
Correct. Yes. So on her way home, she passes the car, but this time the hood is up and no one is there. So the woman was able to describe that at least one of the men there, who was not Logan, was kind of scrawny, Caucasian male. He had a strange haircut. He was wearing, believe it was a shirt that was like way too tight for him, and some jeans. And they were able to get a description from this woman who was able to give it. And I believe the other man, nothing really notable. He was wearing flannel. He had kind of a longer haircut, and that was really about it.
Was there another car?
No, there was not another car. So then they were able to discover some 911 tapes. And one was from a truck driver that said that the Chrysler was swerving and kind of veering in and out of lanes across the highway. And the word he used, I believe, was drifting. And it looked like, no lie, this is what he said, it looked like no one was driving the car. When it was parked, a witness said...
What time was that at?
Well, this 911 call happened in the afternoon. It was around 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
Okay.
And it was reported that when the car finally hit a barrier and stopped, that a white male jumped out of the passenger seat and ran into the woods. So law enforcement does a search of the area and the woods. They did dogs. They did the heat sensing technology. They were able to find absolutely nothing. They didn't find a Caucasian male. They haven't found Logan. And really, that search of the area and continued search by Logan's own family has not brought anything to fruition. Nothing was found by that. So they go and they investigate Logan's phone. They actually search his home and they seize his computer. I wish I could tell you that some big stuff came out of it. On his computer, they found basically probably some conversations with some people, some old friends or something like that, or were able to say, yeah, Logan was getting messages from friends and they were going unanswered. I guess he had logged into or been a part of a dating site, which didn't appear to really have anything of substance. So that went nowhere. When they looked at his phone, though, they noticed some odd behavior, and I don't even know what to do with it. Basically, they found that his phone was pinging several times back and forth, going northbound and southbound on Highway 5, upwards of 3 or 4 times on that day, before it came to a stop where his car was found. I haven't read law enforcement say anything about what they speculate in that regard, but that's some weird stuff. Like, why would you be going up and down the highway all day? I don't know. And then lastly, sometime later, there was a check-in from Logan's Facebook that he checked into Olympia Airport. But when police investigated it, I think they were originally really excited to finally have a lead, but it turned out it was like a Facebook memory that came up from 1 year prior that he had checked into the airport.
Okay.
So, the searches have been done. They went through all his stuff, and they have found nothing. And, yeah, it's only a short time ago, but we're moving in towards 5 years. And we are no closer to knowing what happened to Logan than we were before, right after his disappearance. So, I don't know if you have initial thoughts, but I can tell you what a couple of theories are.
My initial thoughts are WTF.
Yes.
So, people saw him. Let me make sure I have this right. A woman saw him pulled over on the side of the highway in the morning.
Yes.
Then he drove up and down or his phone drove up and down the highway. Then in the afternoon, there were multiple 911 calls saying someone was taking his car and swerving left and right.
Correct.
Then the woman drove home and saw the car in the same place.
Correct.
And then in the morning, there were two men with him that were white. And in the afternoon, a white passenger jumped out and ran into the woods.
Yes. The weirdest part about that person jumping out of the vehicle is the truck driver.
That's the weird part?
Tell me about it. Is the truck driver was like, it doesn't look like anyone's driving the car. But if there was no one else in the car and this person jumps out the passenger side, what the heck?
Well, that would explain how it looks like. Maybe he was driving from the other side of the road. I don't know. I mean, the other side of the car, rather. I don't know.
Well, there is one more thing that I think may or may not become its own theory in and of itself, or I don't know, it might have something to do with a theory of leaving your life. We'll see. So I don't know the exact date or anything, but shortly or sometime after he left college, I believe, Logan actually got in touch with his dad's family. I don't know where they lived, and I don't know how he found out the information. There's not really any details on to how this whole thing transpired, but he was in touch with his family and began having some contact with his dad's family. When he went to visit, he actually got to see pictures of his dad, and he seemed really relieved. Like, I finally have someone to identify with. There's finally someone that looks like me, and it feels really good. And he also made mention that, according to the family, that if his grandmother ever found out that he had found them, that she would be really mad. I don't know exactly what that means or what that's about, and I don't think the family knew exactly what it meant either, but that's what they report that he said. So that's kind of where all this... So Logan encountered racism, and perhaps, as his grandmother, I believe, stated in at least one article, like, some challenges in figuring out who his identity was or how he identified in this world, which I think could play into a possible theory of leaving your life. I'm not sure. So let me just lay out the theories for you.
Please do.
Let me add one thing to a theory about leaving your life potentially, or this tying into some foul play. So Logan's grandmother had said that Logan had been smoking pot. Don't know how much. Don't know if she thinks it was a lot.
Okay, let's straight up. Smoking pot doesn't make you leave your life.
True, but it's speculated that either he developed symptoms of paranoia or that he started dabbling in some harder stuff, got mixed up in drug business or something along those lines, or that it simply did make him paranoid and was a reason that he left his life. So yeah, that's two theories in one. So there's foul play, and it could be centered around drugs. It could be random foul play. It could be he left his life based on some changes. I don't think based on some changes that Logan had exhibited, I don't think it would be too far off to suspect died by suicide.
Okay, but where's the body?
Well, is that where you want to start?
Yeah, let's start there.
Well, in this case, in comparison to a lot of other cases, there were some clear indicators that he was struggling. So he wasn't able to maintain in school. He had a big transition moving back home. He was unhappy about who was in the home. He was unhappy about his friends. He could have been having some sort of identity crisis. He was also discovering family that he had never had contact with. He was withdrawing from life. And that's kind of plenty as it is. There were a lot of things that point to some depression. I agree with you, where is the body? But I think it's more plausible in this case than other cases that we argue.
And I hear you there. I just don't buy it. Because I feel like that's a very dramatic day if your end result is die by suicide.
Sure, yeah.
Like, you pull your car over, there are two men, then you drive back and forth, then there's another man jumping out of the car. I feel like that's very dramatic for a suicide.
So I actually agree with you. As much as there's so much evidence that there was some internal struggle he was having, I would say, why would coincidentally all this chaotic stuff happen on the day you're going to leave? And if the epiphany was, Grandma, I'm unhappy, I don't think he would have called it an epiphany.
Part of me wonders if the epiphany was, I want to go meet my dad.
Maybe. I mean, that could have been the part where she sensed the nervousness. I mean, possibly, like, I want to go to Saudi Arabia. If I'm not 100% confirmed where his location was at this time, only that in his early life, it indicated that it was a brief affair and he went back to Saudi Arabia. So I'm not really sure. I want to be clear about that. But if he was in fact there, or even in another state, maybe he wanted to give it a go there.
Or in Saudi Arabia. Like, why couldn't Logan want to go there?
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think whether it's Chicago or Saudi Arabia, he might have wanted some new start with his dad.
Or at the very least, to meet him.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if the dad's family met him and decided it's not our secret to tell, or not secret, I don't want to call it that, but like, it's not our information to share, so we're not going to do it. So he might, at that point, still have had no idea that he had a son.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Keep going. I don't like any of this. Nothing feels...
I mean, I think we disagree with the theory of he died by suicide.
Yes.
Fair?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, I mostly do, but the chaos and the lack of a body makes me wonder. Gives me enough pause to say, nah, I don't think so. All right, so then we have leaving your life.
I think that's actually plausible.
And I actually do, too. I think that this is a kid that's fed up, doesn't feel as if he has a solid direction. He's lost. And I think it's an age that a lot of kids end up feeling lost, especially if plans don't go as they thought they would.
And especially because they're discovering their family, they're discovering who they are. They're potentially going through some racism, which means they're going to look for their roots a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he doesn't like who he's living with. He doesn't like his sister's boyfriend. And I don't know if he heard something from his newly found family that made him doubt some truths about his grandmother. And this is speculation. But sometimes when secrets get uncovered in families, you tend to get mad at the person that might have been keeping the secret. So I'm not saying Grandma was keeping a secret or it was her responsibility to tell him anything, but he could have thought that.
Oh, 100% he could have.
There's that. And then he's not really grounded with his friends where he's living. There's nothing holding him back, I guess, is my argument. Go start over. Find somewhere new.
I mean, I agree with you. And I also, not necessarily, I don't know that his intention was leave his life. Part of me wonders if his intention was just to go meet his dad. And then for whatever reason, it was good. He was happy. His dad was excited to see him. And he was like, well, screw it. I'm not going back.
Well, we have no evidence to suggest that his dad ever met him.
Okay, well, then I hate you.
And I get it. I still think it's plausible. Like, I think there was enough reason. He didn't take a cell phone or a wallet or his food with him. If he had taken his cell phone, I would say he got caught off guard or something like that. But that was all there. So drop everything and leave. Maybe these two people were helping him. Maybe not. I don't know. All right. Put that to the side a second.
But then a different person was driving his car later?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. But, well, hang on. Put that to the side a moment.
Oh, okay.
So then we're on to foul play. And to me, there's two things or two prevalent theories about the foul play. It's either he could have been caught up in drugs or something like that, or he could have gotten into a disagreement with the sister's boyfriend. Now, the sister's boyfriend was investigated, and he gave a polygraph, and he passed. And my understanding is after he passed, he was cleared. Law enforcement does not appear to be working on that angle whatsoever. And honestly, sure, you can get mad enough at someone. It happens all the time. But I have no reason to think that Logan threatened to break them up or threaten the relationship in any way. It was really just being disgruntled with the person that was living there. So if the boyfriend wasn't threatened in his relationship or in his place to live, I don't know that he would necessarily have a reason to harm him to that degree.
I mean, I don't think he would.
Like I said, it could happen, but I don't see a stronger motive. No one has said that Logan wanted to break them up or he had gotten into these altercations or anything like that.
And no one said it was like an us or him, me or him thing.
Thank you. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. It didn't appear that. But if someone knows something that I don't, then let me know. But that just doesn't feel, with the information that I have, like that would be enough motive to make someone disappear. So then there is drugs, and there's not a whole lot there other than Grandma said he was smoking pot. He may have been paranoid to some degree, but it's really just speculation that he could have dabbled in something harder than just weed. Sure, he could have. It could happen to anybody, and if he's depressed or whatever. Yeah, okay. But what could he have done that would have gotten him hurt or killed or someone's hiding him?
Not for weed. And so in 2012, Washington became the first state to legalize recreational use of marijuana.
So
if he was smoking pot, it was legal.
Probably not a whole lot there to explore, right?
Yeah, I knew Washington was early on. And how old was he?
He was about 20.
Yeah, no, I mean, it says that. I mean, granted, I'm not reading, like, the actual law because, you know, I'm not going to go pull a law. But it was all legal. Oh, wait, hold on. You have to be 21. But, okay, if he was 20 and it was legal for 21.
Yeah, he was almost 20, but I don't know what he could have dabbled in that would cost him his life like that. So then, if we don't believe it's drugs or something like that, what is the deal with that behavior before he went missing? If you believe all of those sightings were of him and not just someone that took his car.
You know, when I said at the beginning of this episode that if someone has an epiphany, tell them, because Bryce LaPisa told his mom they had something to tell her and she waited, I didn't realize this case would have so many similarities.
You know, you're right. That's a good point.
Do we think there could have been a mental break of sorts?
Sure. Yeah, I do. I mean, he had a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff in his life going on.
And part of me wonders if that's what happened. It was a mental break. And I don't know what happened after that, but similarly to Bryce, I think he left his life inadvertently.
So, totally possible. But how do you explain the other people that were witnessed with his car?
Oh, you're right. Maybe they were good Samaritans that stopped. Although I guess the guy that jumped out couldn't have been.
Okay, so let's say you figure all that out and give an explanation there. What's up with him going up and down the interstate all day?
What happens with Bryce sitting on the side of the road in Button Willow? What happens with Bryce driving up a grassy embankment to a cliff twice?
Fair. However, in this case, there were two other people witnessed to be there, at least.
So part of me wonders, if I'm going to keep going down that rabbit hole, how I would explain that is, I wonder if the people in the morning were passerbyers that were just going to help.
Yep.
And then maybe someone saw his car abandoned and stole it. I don't know. I don't like it.
That might actually work. However, not that I think the person or who we theorize as a person to steal the car is would come forward and say, oh, yeah, while I was stealing a car, I remember seeing a guy or, you know, I remember stealing a car that day. But the two good Samaritans haven't heard anything in the media and haven't come forward and said, hey, oh, yeah, that guy that I saw in the news that's missing, I helped him that day.
Okay, that's a fair point. Well, I don't know. What do you think, Amy?
Honestly, what you just said fits not perfect, but better than anything else. Okay, so two guys don't watch the news.
And I mean, if those passerbyers weren't from the area, it was a main highway.
Yeah.
It'd be like not that we would stop because I would call the police, but I would never stop, but it'd be like if Anthony and I were driving to New Hampshire from North Carolina, and we saw people on the side of the road mm-hmm. in Virginia, right? Like we may call the police. We wouldn't stop because I'm a crazy person. Maybe we would. I don't know. Whatever. I don't live in that area. I wouldn't follow the news.
Well, you know, so, yeah. You know, what I really want is a much better timeline, and I think there's got to be one out there, but all that I've read doesn't nail this down to more specific times. For example, it just says a woman on her way to work and a woman who is leaving work. And it also says that Logan talked to his grandma before she went into work. What time were these? And when did...
Right, like what if that woman worked, you know, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m.?
Exactly.
That day.
Because what we know is he talked with his grandmother, and then at some point some woman goes to work. She sees Logan and two guys. She comes home from work and sees the car still there. Then at 2 p.m., there's reports of a car swerving up or all around the highway before it hits a barrier, comes to a stop.
So you're saying, like, what if she was driving, he was pulled over, then what if she was going to work after 2?
Well, don't forget the witnesses saw what appeared to be no one driving the car. And then someone jumped out and ran into the woods.
I don't know how you explain that. A UFO? A ghost? I mean, I don't know how you explain that.
She could have been on her way to work. And who's to say it was an 8-hour window of time? So let's just say she goes...
Right. And that's why...
8 to noon, sees the car, or I don't know.
Oh, yeah. What if she left work before the 2 p.m. swerving?
But he's going... Yeah, it's possible because he's going up and down the highway all day. So it's plausible that she saw a car parked. He continues going up and down the highway and then crashes. But we still don't really have why other than, like you said, maybe a break.
I mean, I feel like you felt in the Lindsay Buziak case. Like, I don't know. I feel terrible because I don't have nothing I can do put anything together. The only thing that makes sense to me is a mental break, and I don't know how you work in those other people.
I don't know. I don't know either. But if you're going to back me in a corner and I have to choose something, I frankly think I'm going to go with this break.
That's where I have to choose. For me, there are so many parallels to Bryce that I can justifiably say, I think the Morning People were good Samaritans. They didn't see the news for whatever reason. And then maybe someone tried to steal his car and then crashed it.
So I think that, for me, is the one that could be most likely. Honestly, I think following up close second is leaving his life. I don't think it was drugs, and I don't think it was the boyfriend.
No.
And I don't think he died by suicide.
No, I think that if he went to leave his life, it was because he was, like, having an identity crisis, which you could tie into a mental something.
True.
So my hope is he's still alive out there.
Yeah, and I kind of have no reason to think so. If something had happened by accident, like he crashed the car, which I don't know how no one saw him that second time, but if he did, and he's injured and walks into the woods and collapses, he's going to be found. But they did thorough searches, and they didn't find him.
I hope he's out there somewhere, and his family gets justice, or family gets answers.
Yeah, whether that is, like you kind of said, justice or just to know.
Right. You know, one of our Patreons said it recently. You know, we're not going to downplay a murder or anything like that because that's a horrific crime also. But the not knowing will eat you alive.
For sure. I hear so many families that are kind of stuck and they can't move and grow and experience true happiness or joy. They're just living in the moment trying to know what happened. I mean, I think John Walsh talks about that a bit too. Without going into that, but if you're ever wanting to hear what it's like to go on after, well, he lost someone, but for a long time, you know, his son was missing. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's all I've got. If
I'm sorry that I was not good on this episode.
I know, we're driving some hard ones, huh?
That's what happens when you're this many episodes in. The easy ones, so to speak, are gone, and we're going to be forced to talk about some tough ones.
Yeah. And let me just, right before we close, I mentioned this a couple episodes ago, but just to remind you, like, this is 2016. In an age of tracking phones and locations, even better quality for pinging, and in a sense, being able to trace someone's electronic footprint, right?
Right.
And we still have cases like this. So, as much as I want to say keep in contact with your relatives or friends or loved ones and do all the things, I guess it's still possible that you could meet some unfortunate fate, so to speak.
Agreed. But if you make a revelation about yourself or realize a revelation about yourself and it could alter the course of your life and you feel like you need to share it immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I got, though.
Well, thank you. And thank you.
No, I'm sorry.
Believe me, I've been in your shoes before, Melissa. I get it. But you guys, let us know your thoughts and your theories. You really surprised us in the best way with telling us about what you thought about Lindsay, and I know I was completely lost, and that was super helpful. So do the same stuff here. Let us know what you think. Generate an hour-long conversation, and that's all I've got.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. audio production by Amy Lamar.